Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Umbody. With me, Shea Dixon, to break down LSU's big commitment. Kind of a surprise on Thursday morning as four-star defensive back B.J. Allen commits to the Tigers, a 2022 prospect, but already a top 100 overall player on 24/7 Sports, but more importantly, the number two overall safety in the country jumps on board with LSU. What a haul they have so far in 2022, building on that number one overall class ranking right now with Bryce Anderson out of Beaumont Westbrook at safety, Kamari Rogers out of Mississippi, one of the top corners in the country, and in-state wide receiver Dakoldis Crawford committed. LSU has four commitments now in 2022, ranking them number one overall in the country. And, Shea, this is a commitment that, look, I just talked to Brian Allen, and he said he was going to take some visits, but obviously thought about it. And coming off his visit really last summer to LSU, he had them at the top of his list and opts to go ahead and commit.
Yeah, I mean, this is big time to land a player like that. Is look, he's not ranked by any of the other services right now, but 24/7 Sports has ranked him number two safety in the country, so top 50 range player, and obviously a top five guy in Texas. He'll probably stay in that top 100 range throughout because you look at what he did, just so far in his time in high school, and look back at defensive newcomer of the Newcomer of the Year award for 4-5A, or I guess District 4 and 5A. In Texas. But I thought last year when watching this film, when you look at the stats, I mean, Billy, 122 tackles, 80 of them being solo, had a few picked off passes, forced a couple of fumbles, recovered some. So you get a sense that he really is a bit of a do-it-all safety. And I thought today, and people can go to the site and check it out, the Friday film focus that Sonny did breaking down Brian Allen Jr., gave him the comp of Grant Delpit. You kind of offered up a little bit of a Maurice Hampton thought, but I guess the point is, with both y'all saying those names, is LSU's getting a guy who can, yes, play center field for you, understands certainly what comes with defending the passing game, but boy, he's not afraid to get down in the box. He tackles well. It seems like this is a really good pickup, not the fastest guy in the country probably, but for a safety, Billy, I'm guessing that you're not worried about that. You're much more worried about what his sort of abilities are, both in coverage and in the box. And he seems to be really good at both of them, at least so far from his freshman and sophomore seasons of high school.
Yeah, and for Brian Allen, he transferred into Aledo before this year, which, for those who aren't familiar, is a perennial state powerhouse in Texas. They've won multiple state championships in the past decade. They're always right in the mix for them. Brian Allen led Aledo to a state championship this year. Fun fact, I used to do some fill-in sideline reporting for Bearcats Radio, so really familiar for the most part with what Aledo brings. And he's still got a lot of developing to do over his junior and senior seasons. And Gabe mentioned it when you look at his 40 from his freshman year in the spring at the opening. It's an encouraging number. I believe it was right in the 4.7 range, which as a freshman, that's pretty impressive.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, Shaz Preston was the same way as a freshman, running a very similar time, maybe a little bit faster, to kind of put it into perspective, at the opening as a freshman as well in the New Orleans area. So he's going to continue to fill out, and I think that's where Sonny's point of Grant Delpit really, you know, rings true, is that he's got a good frame that can fill out. Could he, you know, potentially grow an inch or two? Maybe. We'll see. But look, LSU is getting a really well-coached player, a productive player, a great athlete, and somebody that has his best football in front of him. I mean, there's a lot of schools.
Yeah, he's a sophomore.
There's a lot of schools around the country that wanted Brian Allen, and LSU was the one that got him on board.
Yeah, and I agree with you now that you're saying it. I'm looking at it. you look at a 4.7, 4.40, a 4.43 shuttle, a 32-inch vert. It's not like eye-popping numbers, but he was 15 at the time. As you said, best football certainly ahead of him, given he's got a junior and senior year left in high school. So big-time player. I mean, this will he'll be one of the better players they sign in that 2022 class.
No question. You pair him with Bryce Anderson, and that is a group of safeties that are going to rival anybody's in the country, and now they'll have to hang out onto both of them. But and you know, we'll have more updates on some of these new offers going out, but I would, off the top of my head, have to think now they've offered in the 2022 class probably all, let's say, seven of the top safeties in the country, and Kamari Wilson's going to try and visit. We'll have an update on him next week. He's the number one safety in the country out of the state of Florida. He seems pretty interested after LSU entered the mix. So a really, really strong safety haul for Bill Bush, who's been on an absolute tear. And this segues nicely into what we're going to talk about next, which is your deep dive over 5,000 words on Jabril Cox, the North Dakota State transfer for LSU that's going to step right in, play a ton of football for LSU at linebacker, and somebody that, when you profiled him, had a relationship, you know, with Bill Bush that really probably won the day for LSU.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got time to go to the site and check it out, it's on the front page. You can find it on the board. We've tweeted it a number of times. It's called Faith, Family Faith in Football, the Jabril Cox story. And it's a good read not to just get an insight into Cox, but also Bill Bush, who played a big role here. And we'll start with Cox. And we've been talking about plenty of high school kids and their stats. And Cox got injured. He tells the story of his junior year. He said, look, I tore up my knee. I was off to a great start. 1,300 passing yards, almost 20 touchdowns, to tear up my knee, and I'm done for the year. And not many people thought that I'd be ready for my senior season. I rehabbed, I got well, and then tore it apart. I mean, he had over 3,000 yards of total offense, 30-plus touchdowns. He threw for 2,000, ran for 1,000, did a bit of everything. But as he said, nobody ever came back around on him coming out of Kansas City. And you know, he had some interest from some very small FBS schools, but as he notes and kind of talked about to me, which I thought was an interesting point, was like how high if teams would have even come back around. Like, and he ends up signing with obviously North Dakota State, who is the gold standard of, you know, FCS level programs. And they win the national championship every year. They put out NFL players. Like, would a Miami of Ohio offer been bigger than that? Like, I would have thought no, maybe. So he said, look, in hindsight, it might have been good that I went to North Dakota State. Like, smaller FBS schools could have come after me, and I wouldn't be in this position. Certainly wouldn't have won a bunch of national championships and had the chance to go to LSU. But as he talks more about it, I think it's just a good insight, too, into how do you win kids over right now when you're not allowed to see them in person. And for a lot of recruits, let's say Brian Allen Jr., for instance, he's already visited LSU before, and he's only a sophomore in high school. Like, this whole – you know, the recruiting ban on in-person recruiting only right now goes to May 31st. For Brian Allen, he's got 2 years of high school left. He's going to be around LSU plenty. He's not really worried about it. I can commit, no big deal. For Cox, for Jabril Cox, you're looking at a guy who, as he puts it, Billy, I'm graduating right now from North Dakota State. I'm doing online courses. I'm expecting and am wanting to be at a college campus for June to begin summer workouts. And if I'm going to plan accordingly that way, I've got to commit to a school that I've never been to. And he was literally going to the airport to fly to Baton Rouge for his official visit when the SEC put down that ruling that all in-person or on-campus recruiting was put to a stop. And he said, I'd just go home. And from there is where Bill Bush comes in. And yes, like, he was familiar with Ed Orgeron and never talked to him until he got into the portal. He had talked about Pelini before because he was a head coach at Youngstown State, and North Dakota State and Youngstown State played each other a good bit over his career there. But it was Bill Bush who really stepped in here and got it done. And there were some things I didn't know. I didn't know Bill Bush played this big role in getting out Utah to convince Utah staff to take Alex Smith when he was a two-star coming out of high school. And Alex Smith and his mom, and I use the quotes in there, talked about way back in the day when they were at the Heisman that the one person they called was Bill Bush and said, look, we would have never gotten here had you not really convinced the Utah staff to take him. And then obviously we saw him play a real key role in getting Joe Burrow, because when Bush was coaching at Nebraska, Jimmy Burrow had coached at Nebraska. They knew each other, never been at the same time, but Dan Burrow, the middle brother, played for Bill Bush in Nebraska, and he coached him in the secondary. And then obviously when Burrow comes out, Bush, you know, kind of helps set up the visit, and ultimately they get him. So that's two Heisman finalists, one, obviously Burrow, but two potential or expected number one picks in Smith and Burrow. But then it ties in this like Polynesian angle, which people are sort of become familiar with Bill Bush, and he spent, you know, the article talks about how he spent all this time out west, you know, at schools like Utah State, New Mexico State, and really found out like, look, there's a lot of Poly kids that are good, whether they're Hawaiian or Samoan or Tongan or whatever it might be. But to get in with them, really have to, like, you know, have a reputation of recruiting them, be invited into the homes. And it sort of tells a story about how Bush did that. And we saw it, Billy, with Apu Aika and then Natsihoni Tahuma, Fanua, in the, 2019 cycle, when they both signed and really pointed to Bill Bush as being a huge part of that. And then fast forward to Jabril Cox, and I don't think many people knew this about him before we really started reading into him after his commitment, that his mother is American Samoan, and Bill Bush found that out and really hit it off. And Jabril said, look, when you're not allowed to see coaches in person and I can't go visit the campus, my family just got to bank everything off of trust. And he said, no, what, 50-something colleges came after me and said they wanted to be, but nobody was able to get that trust factor up the way Bill Bush did. And because of that, he pulled the trigger and committed to LSU. And, you know, I got long-winded, but that's kind of the summation of the story. And you get a feel for what type of player Cox is. And Billy, look, with LSU, even if they're switching base defenses, you still lose Chaisson, Divinity, Patrick Queen, Jacob Phillips. Everybody who was logging starts for you a year ago at linebacker is gone. And you've got Jacoby Stevens back, but he's a bit of a safety. So Jabril comes in, and the expectation for him this fall will be start. You know, that's a given. But where he starts, whether it's in the center, you know, in the middle or on one of the edge spots, we'll see. But regardless, this is a big-time addition, and a kid that's been playing at a high level since high school. It's just, he just simply got overlooked.
Yeah, it was a great story. Everybody has a lot of time on their hands right now, so I highly encourage you guys to go and read that. It's on Go247 right now. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break from the Go247 podcast, come back, talk a little bit about the LSU players that are going to be virtually participating in the NFL draft. Kind of a weird thing. And Shay and I are going to share our best recruit that we've ever covered. So we'll do that on the other side of this break from the Go247 podcast.
Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. Not only is Bluehost Cloud our fastest web hosting available, but it's also built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you can get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com. Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Go247 podcast. Thanks for listening. Quick reminder, guys, leave us a rating, leave us a review on the podcast. Let us know what you think. And if you have any suggestions, feel free to fire those away on our reviews section. So thanks for doing that. And thanks so much for everybody who's been reading and posting on the board. It's been really popping, I would say, even with how quiet everything is without sports. The board's been pretty active. So come join the fun on Go247. Check us out. You can subscribe for just a buck. Now, Shay, Some guys that are going to be having some fun over the next couple weeks are really the double-digit players that LSU has in the NFL draft that came out early or graduated or what have you. Those guys are about to have their lives changed, and it's going to be weird this year. And Joe Burrow was on with Shaq on his podcast earlier this week talking about how he's a little disappointed that he's not able to walk across the red carpet, and you know, walk on water was how the NFL was going to do it in Las Vegas for the draft, of course, got to do it big in Vegas. But now they're going to be a part of a virtual draft, and everybody's going to be at home. I can't imagine from the team side how it's going to work, but the LSU players that are going to be participating virtually are Burrow, Christian Fulton, Kalyvon Chaisson, Patrick Queen, Grant Delpit, Lloyd Cushenberry, Thad Moss, and I think I nailed all of those guys, and Justin Jefferson. And the one player that isn't is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I thought that was kind of interesting, at least out of the notable guys that I felt like would be invited to some sort of draft deal with the virtual draft. Clyde isn't, but LSU has 8 players that are going to be participating in the virtual draft, and it's going to be quite the adventure, I think, come April come later this month for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I thought for sure, look, 58 total players got invited. So for LSU to have 8 of them there is like a big deal. And it sort of matches what we've seen so far. Like they had 16 guys at the combine. That was the most of any college team. They have 20 draft eligible guys. That's the most of any college team. And now they get 8 guys invited to this, which I would bet is up there. I haven't gone through the whole list yet, unless Bama's got around that number. But point being is that, yes, it's a big honor. A bunch of these were expected. I'll say I'm a little surprised Thaddeus Moss is on there, but I would guess a part of that. Yeah, I mean, he's a big-time tight end, but he was hurt for the NFL Combine, so we didn't get to see him work out. I would think some of this is tied into, you know, Randy Moss and the reality that, you know, when he gets taken, that will be a storyline. So was definitely surprised that Edwards-Helaire wasn't on there, but look, Billy, when has Clyde Edwards-Helaire ever been given the benefit of the doubt? You know, they knock him for his size, they knock him for everything. And I thought that one of the more, we see so many, you know, we've written a bunch of these articles, but we read them and we see them on TV of all these different analysts comparing all these guys. And, you know, eventually it can just, you know, blur together. But I thought one thing that stood out was Maurice Jones-Drew and what he said this week. And I pick him because he's someone who had a great NFL career. And he's been compared a lot, at least body-wise and running style, to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They're, you know, pretty similar players. You could throw a Darren Sproles into that type of conversation. But what MJD said, and I'll paraphrase, he just said, look, a kid, trust me, I've watched all of his film. A kid that versatile is a day one starter for in any system you want. So I think I don't think MJD's out here blowing smoke. You know, I think he truly believes that. So if that's the case, Billy, I'm not surprised at all if he gets picked in the second round or very early in the third. And I know a lot of people thought, look, he's probably maybe a third round type guy, but yes, running backs are not the most valuable thing to have to go get in a draft, but beyond what Dobbins and Swift and Jonathan Taylor, some of these guys have a lot of tread on the tires. I'd put Edwards-Helaire out there. And as soon as those guys start coming off the board, I think we're on Clyde watch.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think MJD nailed it with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I'll kind of let him off the hook, I guess, for not having Joe Burrow on as the number one pick in one of his mock drafts because of that. A little bizarre, but yeah, he knows running backs, and he knows what's going to work in the NFL. And I think Clyde, like you said, with his versatility, he's somebody that's going to be able to step in and play a ton of snaps right away for an NFL team. So I was a little surprised by him, but you know, Clyde's also a little low-key. We don't know the backstory. We don't know why he wasn't invited, but, you know, he'll definitely celebrate whenever he's picked accordingly with family and under quarantine, I guess, like everyone else. And one thing I'll say is Lloyd Cushenberry. I thought that was an interesting guy to have invited to the virtual draft. And yeah, great for him. And we actually are going to be dropping a story on Lloyd here in the next day or so. I caught up with him this week and talked about his workouts and his conversations with teams, and we touched a little bit on, of course, you know, the national championship run. And so look for that on Go247 as we continue to kind of prep and keep you guys informed on where these guys are expected to go and how they're preparing as best we can. So hopefully we'll be able to get more former players on for stories or whether they jump on this podcast or what have you, but look for that on Lloyd in the next day or so.
hitting go247.com. And finally, Shay, we want to chop it up a little bit about recruits. The experts, the national recruiting analysts, got together and shared the best recruit that they've covered. And you saw guys on there like Kyler Murray out of Texas, who never lost as a starter, and Jadeveon Clowney and Jalen Smith and Barton picked Lyle Collins out of Baton Rouge, and of course went on to LSU and had a great career. And there's a bunch of guys out there that have been, quote, you know, the best we've ever seen. But, you know, who's yours? Because I posted mine on the board and it's the same as yours, but, you know, it's pretty impressive what, you know, Derek Stingley has done in his high school career and certainly as an LSU Tiger now.
Yeah, I mean, you asked me right before we came on the podcast who did I think I was going to choose, and I immediately just said Stingley, and it was almost like word vomit type. Like, it just happened so quickly. I mean, I guess I could think a little bit harder than that, but yes, he's recent. He's in our face right now, but I mean, he was the highest ranked player cornerback in the history of 24/7 for a reason, and the reason was what we saw this year. I mean, he is absolutely physically, he was college ready. Skill wise, he was the best cornerback in the conference. Arguably in the country, there's no doubt it'll be a top 10 pick. That whenever a team needs that draft rolls around in 2 years, whichever team seriously needs a corner, they're going to take him with whatever pick they have. So that's about as no-brainer as it gets. But I mean, I'll go back to that 2009 to 11 range when I was covering things down in Louisiana, and we saw everyone from Tyron to Jarvis, Odell. I would say Jarvis was a better prospect than Odell coming out, and they were both dynamic, but Jarvis's hands then were what they are now. It's just unbelievable. I'll throw Dockwell Williams in that group coming down from the River Parishes. He was ultimately, gosh, he went JUCO and then went to Auburn. He plays for the Bills now, but he was just this like specimen in high school where nobody could guard him. He was just so much more physical. Like, I saw one time at a 7-on-7 down in, gosh, I guess we were in reserve maybe, but it was him and Landon Collins going up against each other. And by the end of the day, like, both of them had just blood everywhere on their 7-on-7 jerseys. And they were just like out there like punching each other and screaming at each other, like, not punching, like fist fighting, but like getting off the line, like jamming each other into their faces. And you're not in pads or anything. It was like, Jesus, like, both these dudes are just freaks. And obviously Landon Collins lived out to be exactly what he was. And Doc Wills had some road bumps, but yeah, he'd be up there, and I'll still stick and say that. And look, I'm watching Stingley right now, but from covering these recruits into college, the best two college players I've seen were Cam Newton and Tyrann Mathieu. And we saw Newton that 1 year, but he was just so unbelievable. He was just so much bigger and faster and better than everybody else that was on the field. I mean, he was dragging Patrick Peterson off the goal line in that game at Auburn. So, and then Mathieu was what he was. I mean, he was just unbelievably dynamic. I still wish we could have seen that 2012 season and him playing and what would have happened. But yeah, I mean, those are kind of the group. I like the Lael pick. I watched, gosh, probably every few weeks I'd go to a Redemptorist game, and him and Jeremy Hill were unstoppable. They would just run it off the left side, and Lael would take whoever the DN was, throw them onto the ground, go to the linebacker, throw them on the ground, and then him and Jeremy Hill would just be running to the end zone together. It was unstoppable almost. So, yeah, all those guys are in that group, but boy, Stingley, he's up there, and I know playing at Dunham, he was just better than everybody. Nobody could ever tackle him. He picked it off every time he threw it at him. When he got a punt return, he scored a touchdown. He was just light years above everybody, and we saw him, you know, carry that into SEC or into everything this year, Texas game, all those games. He was phenomenal. He doesn't look like an 18-year-old freshman.
Yeah, and I went with Stingley too, and it, you know, at least, yeah, just from the modern stuff, I would say, because, you know, he's not a quarterback. He's not expected to touch the ball every play, but there was a feeling whenever you went to a Dunham game or even a bootlegger 7-on-7 or what have you, that he could get the ball, whether it was receiver, whether it was corner, whether it was punt return, kick return, take it to the house, score a touchdown. It didn't really matter, and I think that's the thing that sticks with me the most. And then, of course, all of his verified numbers were sick. You know, I think it was a 4.38 at the opening in Dallas. I was actually there when he ran it. It was pretty remarkable what he was able to put together as a recruit. I'll go back, and I grew up in the state of Florida, and while he wasn't the best prospect, I would say, just because of that throwing motion. I mean, Tim Tebow was unbelievable at Nice. Watching him, he was on two-a-days way back in the day when Hoover was getting profiled and they played him in a season opener. I'll go to Kyler Murray, who I got to see a couple times when I was at SMU and living in Texas, and he was unbelievable. I mean, never lost as a starter. That's probably – he's probably my number two. Kyler Murray, I would say, is right there just for what he was able to do at the highest level of Texas high school football. Again, never lost, stacked yards, played baseball too, and obviously went on to win a Heisman at Oklahoma after transferring from A&M. But there are a lot of guys that you kind of go back through the years. Probably one of the first recruits I followed even was Julio Jones, and I think Foley had a nationally televised game, and I remember watching him and following that recruitment all the end just that off of that. I mean, he was and actually, if you listen to some of our Bama site guys and other site guys, just to keep up around the country, they did a profile on him and how he, you know, completely changed the game for Alabama when Nick Saban signed him out of there. And he was unbelievable as a receiver prospect. There's a lot of guys through the years. I would say the best player that I've covered, I so far, I would say, I mean, Jamal Adams might be up there. He was just unbelievable in every facet of the game too. I mean, you look at what he was able to do at the safety position. Now he's, you know, probably going to be the highest paid safety in the NFL. He's kind of underrated in the grand scheme of things just because, I mean, he was just barely a top 100 prospect on 24/7. The composite had him really high, but Greg Powers, back when he was with us at Scout, had him as the number one safety and a five-star, I think top 10 overall player. And so he stands out of the Texas area as well for me. And there's like I said, there's a lot of guys, but interested to hear your guys' take once this pod drops and it's on the board. Feel free to chime in with your top recruit you've ever seen or watched, or how, you know, whatever you want to say, feel free to let it fly. We're interested in hearing what you guys have to say as well. But all of those guys deserve plenty of recognition.
I like the picks. Stroll down memory lane there, man. I could go on all day. We should do a story on this, the best from each class that we saw. I think that'd be an interesting debate.
Oh, yeah. And I'll say this, Ivins, who's, you know, kind of on the younger side like us, and especially out of the national analysts, he mentioned Trevor Lawrence, who, I mean, I think if you ask Rusty Manziel and those guys, too, covering him out of Georgia, he'd be right up there, too, for anybody as far as a quarterback prospect. I think Trevor Lawrence is right in that mix, too.
Yeah. Him and Justin Fields were pretty dynamic. Obviously, Lawrence's record was unbelievable. Wait, so he's a sophomore. That's right. Okay, yeah. That was like a storyline, right? Like, what didn't yep. When he lost to LSU, was like the first time he had lost ever? Or what, like, did he lose like a game like as a junior in high school or something?
Yes, that was the first game he lost in, like, I want to say 5 years, or dating back to his sophomore year of high school or something like that. It was unbelievable. I mean, just, yeah, what he was able to do, what he's been able to do, still does as a starting quarterback in college football and back in high school. I mean, that was Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. You remember the opening finals that we went to in Oregon there? That was the big, big storyline out of that one, if I remember correctly.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, good times out in Oregon watching those two sling it around, and certainly following them throughout their college careers now. But we've gone on long enough, guys. Hope you guys are all staying safe out there, having a great quarantine life as best you can. And we're trying to give you guys a little bit of some time to kill, you know, with these podcasts. So we're going to keep churning them out. Shady, what do you got on the agenda this weekend?
Man, I'm definitely going to eat a little Good Friday crawfish. Sunday for Easter, I'm not so sure. I mean, everyone's kind of split up, obviously, with the family in different pockets of the country. So the forecast here in Baton Rouge, Billy, is like monsoon and lightning. So getting outside seems like a no-go. So it might be like the first ever Netflix and chill Easter, which is not what I anticipated.
Yeah, well, not to, you know, put a damper on this one, but I was supposed to be in Vegas at a bachelor party for Masters weekend this weekend, so we're hurting. So I'll probably watch the Masters rerun, get in the sun a little bit. It's beautiful down here in Florida, so hope everyone has a great Easter weekend. Hope you have a great Easter weekend, buddy, and we'll check in next week.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.